Then after that, at about 8:15 exactly, we will start the offering. In the meantime, if you got any question, you can ask while waiting for the rest. Today's flower offering is by Sister Padmasuri and Teo. Very nice flower. And the oranges, I think, is Sri Anna. Oh, who's that? Oh, also from Padmasuri. Oh, Sadhu. Yeah. Yes.
You talk about.
Yeah. No, no, don't try to know where. This one you won't come to it until the later part of your cultivation. Forget about it now. Now you cannot understand, or you cannot even try to understand it. Because there were conditions that night. Then I explain a little bit. This one is for people who has gone beyond the Arahant way. Those who go the full Bodhisattva way, only they go to that nature. So you don't have to know. You just cultivate, develop the spiritual faculty, then allow the mind to settle down. Then the mind that has this spiritual faculty will develop the direct seeing, the understanding. Then as you understand, you will know what to do. Then the other thing comes naturally. So what I shared that day at the talk was because of certain condition, more towards the higher beings, they want to understand one. Not so much of the human rhyme audience. Because there were conditions and they were conditioned for that question to arise. Then when my nature can understand, when it felt what is needed, it will share on that aspect of the hearing. So that one is something that you will maybe later on only use it, but not now. So don't try to know. Yeah, that one, your mind has to be completely silent. You must go through cessation. Means you must have realized Nibbana before, otherwise you cannot detect the gateway. No way. Even those who go through sainthood way, they only have a glimpse of what that Nibbana is, the cessation of form and mind. But that one moment of cessation is already very good, very good. Because the understanding is already there. But after that, you need to go for the friction. Because it's only the path. Then the friction of it is the stabilizing of the understanding. When that friction stabilizes, then you can leave it. It becomes a part of you, your nature. Then you can understand that one clearly. Then that time you can share. Before the friction is not easy. The form and mind understand because it has gone through, but it cannot actually share or express it out because it's something very new, very new. Then you have to learn how to use that understanding. Then you have to go through life. Then you need to actually continue your cultivation to stabilize all this understanding. Don't be in a hurry. It's okay if you have heard it and you want to know, you can ask. But not now. This particular topic is way beyond the sainthood way. So just leave it. Okay. Yeah. So another 1-2 minutes. So after that, so we can get the thing lighted. Good. So I can get it lighted. Okay, maybe we can now do the salutation. We will chant the Namo Tassa three times. Then we will pay homage. Yeah? Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Okay, we will do the homage. Yeah? Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, we will start the official puja offering. Huh? Then after that, we will do the chanting. Hmm. Okay, Pabasari, yeah, you can start with the offering. Huh? Siyan also can come. Huh? Anybody else who partake in this offering can come. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Pass it on here, then come back. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 The candlelight, the small light. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 So we learn to rejoice with all the offering, to express our gratitude, our joy, then our sincerity and generosity. So all these are very wholesome. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So when you do that very often, your mind will learn how to rejoice in goodness, wholesomeness. So all this will train your mind to have this special quality of mind state that they call rejoicing or mudita. Mudita sometimes is translated as sympathetic joy. But it's a type of rejoicing mind. Okay, we finished the offering. So we can now start the chanting. Be seated. Then turn to page 4. Those who don't have the chanting book, you can collect it. There is the chanting book that you collect from here, you need to return. Okay, page 4, we will start the official chanting. Mm. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Osavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will do the offering of clear water, offering of light, offering of perfume incense, offering of flowers, and offering of food or fruits. So we will chant the Pali, yeah? Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tiham dangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang ujayami tamo nudang ganna sambarayuttena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye puyaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gono petang Etang kasuma santatin Puja yami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Puja mi buddhang kasumena nena Punena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavam Abhivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Pattagang hattu muttamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will make aspiration based on the understanding and significance of the offering. The significance of offering of light, we chant together. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of this of ignorance. Significant of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and dulls off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Significant of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significant offering of fruits or food. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the perfect fruitfulness possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and strictly strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. So we will now make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfers of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect mindfully, to the Triple Jam. Buddhang Pichemi. Dhammang Pichemi. Sanghang Piché. Okay, you can now be seated. Just nice. We got 2-3 minutes before 8:30. Means we did our puja in time. So tonight, we will spend about maybe half an hour of the first session to develop the meditation, which can be in the form of training your mind if you need to train. If you already train, you can straight away relax, silence your mind, and meditate. So if you do meditation with understanding. Oh, okay. Oh, the first lady that arrived, Oh, sorry. Oh, I've seen her before. Oh, it's okay. Do you have the transcript note 12 September 2013? Oh, you don't have. Later we will give it to you. You take a copy of that, because all that you need to know is in that transcript. So that's why we want to save time. That transcript was done and printed out for free distribution. So you can have a copy and read it out before you come. It will help you a lot, so that you understand clearly what meditation means and how you can use that understanding to develop it, so that you don't have to waste your time trying this and trying that and go around all over the places. The teaching of the Buddha is very simple, very direct. So maybe tonight, for her sake, I will explain one more time. Okay, we can off the light now. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Then for those who still need instruction, you maybe can pay attention. Relax body and mind completely. To develop the meditation, you must have a relaxed state of mind. And to relax the mind, the body, physical body, also need to harmonize with it. So if physical body is very tense, not relaxed, your mind will be affected. Because the mind that is trapped inside is also subject to the condition of our physical body. So physical body, if you know how to relax, it will help your mind to actually relax too. So now what you can do is you just
relax body and mind completely, silent everything. Make sure you got a stable posture. Check your backbone. Try to straighten up your backbone. Because the spinal cord, which is connected to your brain, as you settle down in your meditation, some form of chi or energy will flow through your spinal cord. So if it's straight, then there is no constriction. So this flow path of chi through the spinal cord can arise naturally. Then the key to meditation is to relax. Relax into every mind state that has a reason. So relaxation is key. Body, mind, physically, mentally, completely relax. Then you remind yourself you are here to train your mind so that it can settle down to develop the spiritual faculties that can help you understand the spiritual teaching. The five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya are very important. These are Pali term. So the English translation is Saddha is faith. Virya is spiritual zeal or tenacity that will drive you to meditate. Then Sati is mindfulness, awareness before the knowing. It's just a state of awareness within when the mind is quiet, silent and just relax and aware within. Then the fourth spiritual faculty is Samadhi. Samadhi is a type of mind. After you have trained the mindfulness to be very stable, it will develop some strength, some firmness, some collectedness of mind. And when this firmness or collectedness of mind stabilizes, then your mind becomes so stable, it's not only collected, it becomes unwavering. When you experience sense contact that trigger the respective sense door consciousness, like at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, the mind remains calm, peaceful, collected and unwavering. And when you can do that, means your mind has samadhi. Then when this mind has the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi, it can see things clearly. It can see things as they are without the mind being conditioned into certain reactive mode. So when the mind is collected, unwavering, it can see things clearly. It can arise the understanding. When you can see things exactly as they are, not what your thought tell you or your conditioned mind tell you through your views, opinion and ideal things, all of the conditioning from your culture, your belief system and whatever rites and ritual that you hold on to. So all this, if they don't come in and interfere when you are experiencing something like seeing or hearing something or recalling something, then this mind is very peaceful. Then it can develop the direct seeing to understand clearly what truth is, what reality is. And it can also awaken to the characteristics of nature. This is how when sati and samadhi develop, you will develop wisdom, understanding, or panya, which is the fifth spiritual faculty. So our meditation here is to train our mind to have this spiritual faculty. That's why we did the puja. The puja is just a devotional practice, or what they call religious offering, to develop our faith. Our spiritual faculty of saddha leading to the virya, then we pay respect mindfully. We did everything with mindfulness to develop the spiritual faculty of sati. Then when sati stabilizes, samadhi will come to be. with sati and samadhi, wisdom will come to be. That's how the spiritual faculty brings about condition for you to overcome all the hindrance of mind that hinders the living being from becoming peaceful. Your mind, the reason why it is not peaceful and it cannot settle down into the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness is because it has this hindrance, mental hindrance. The five mental hindrance I have explained many times, is also on the whiteboard, after you can have a look. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor or sleepiness, restlessness of mind when you have problems, fear, worry, anxiety, life related problem, like financial problem, health problem, relationship problem or career problem, and other life related problems. So all this will trigger off the mind to be restless, born of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your thought projection, your insecurity. Then the last one is doubt, when you are not sure of what is happening in life, when you cannot understand so many things that happen in life, when you cannot understand the teaching, then you don't have faith. The mind that has doubt is not confident of itself. It's very weak. Doubt normally trigger off fear, worry, anxiety. So the fourth hindrance and the fifth hindrance, they are quite related too. After understanding all this, our purpose here is to reverse all this hindrance of mind through the cultivation of the five spiritual faculty. So through the puja, we develop some form of faith, sadha, virya, then the bowing, mindfulness. So now we are going to stabilize this mindfulness in the meditation itself. So after you have had a stable posture, relax body and mind, you close your eye, then you maintain awareness at the forehead. Just feel, don't think. We need to decondition the heedless thinking born of your mental hindrance that have made you so heedless because of the habitual reaction to sense experience and thought process thinking. So now you just feel, don't think. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within your forehead, relax them all. Feel your forehead soothingly, relax, relax and relax them all. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax into it. Then you move on to your facial muscle. Again, you feel every strand of your facial muscle, relax into it. Feel it soothingly, relax. Whatever tension, stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Then in order to help you further, you can develop this skillful means and radiate metta. So this skillful means is something very simple. You just visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy within your heart. Then when there is joy, you are happy. A happy mind is a relaxed mind, no problem. Then you can radiate this love and metta to your entire body and mind. You can recite following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Each and every cells within, feel it. Then you recite. You can repeat this one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. May to be free from all harms and danger. May to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love. May there be peace. May there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them having this joy and happiness. Then you radiate from your heart and you feel it. That joy and happiness and well-being within. Then may my loved ones to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then may all beings within this vicinity of Subang Jaya and all Dharma friends, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all beings within the whole of Selangor, Petaling Jaya, Malaysia, Asia, and our planet Earth, Mother Earth. Then all beings within the solar system, within our galaxy, Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe of ours. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May all these beings too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their mind states to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful, because you only feel, relax and radiate metta, which is loving kindness and well-being within your own form and mind. Your mind state will be more quiet, more peaceful, so that you will realize the inner peace leading to the inner well-being within you. Then you can return to your facial muscle. Now you feel, you can feel all of your facial muscle by now should be soothingly relaxed, calm and peaceful. Then you just silence your mind and move your attention to your neck. Feel the same. Feel, relax, don't think. Shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Again, feel, relax every part. Then you move your attention down to your heart, chest area. Silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration within or your heartbeat. You just stay there, silent, everything. For those who are new, you cannot detect anything because your mindfulness is not developed as yet. It's okay. You just feel the heart area like you feel your forehead. Then you learn to relax every part first. Feel it soothingly relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse all this mind sweeping method from your leg. You feel, relax, no more thinking. Buttock, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Heart or chest area, again do the same, feel. Silence everything. When you are able to silence your mind, especially at the heart area, your mind becomes very clear, very sensitive. It will be able to detect all the very fine vibration, like the ticking of the clock, the aircon sound, the insect sound, and all of nature's vibration, including the passing traffic. You just maintain silence, allow all this vibration to arise and pass away. The rise and fall of all mental phenomena, they will arise and always pass away, because they are all conditioned, dependent, originating. All of phenomena that are conditioned arising, they have the characteristics of impermanent, because they come and they go, they arise and they pass away. But this need to be realized through the silent mind, not as just a theory. Yeah? That's why when you silent your mind, you can feel them every moment, every instant, coming and going. Even your own heartbeat is the same. The birth and death of every heartbeat, the birth and death of every breath you take, the coming and the going, the arising and the ceasing. These characteristics are manifested everywhere, at all time, within your own form and mind. Then you continue to silence your mind and sweep it up. You feel your shoulder, hand, back the shoulder, your neck, facial muscle, relax everything, feel and relax. Eye muscle, forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. For those who already know how to develop this silent mind, you don't have to do all this mind sweeping method, unless you want to stabilize the mind that is still trapped in the heedlessness to the daily activity or work schedule. Otherwise you calm, you can just relax silent and just meditate. Using the silent mind that you have developed and trained, it can be done very easily. But if you are still new, not trained, not stable yet, you should do the mind sweeping method. Then after that, when you are more calm, more peaceful, more relaxed, silent, and with the newly developed sati or mindfulness, which is the awareness within, you should learn to stabilize this mind. There are many methods or techniques and skillful means that you can use to stabilize them. The Buddha recommended Anapanasati. Anapanasati is the mindfulness of the in and out breath, because our breath is always in the moment. When you are mindful of this breathing in and out, you are in the moment without thought. That's what sati is all about. Mind and the breath move as one. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is just mindfulness of this in and out breath. So to develop this is very simple. The Buddha said you just silence your mind and feel. Instead of your forehead, you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. You just silence everything and allow the mind to feel. Then like the Buddha's instruction, he said breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Means the moment when you are silent and aware in front of your nostril, the in and out breath, you will detect it. As the mind detects, just allow the mind to follow. Mind and breath move as one without thought. And that is anapanasati. So initially, you are not trained. You may not be able to do it. But it's very easy. You only need to have patience. Patience need train. Yes. Every time you maintain attention in front of your nostril, then you maintain awareness or attentiveness to allow the breath to move as one with your mind. Every time this mind wander off, you just bring it back. Do not panic, do not worry, or do not become unhappy over it. Just tell yourself, the untrained mind thinks a lot, wanders off very fast. So you need to train this mind. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Expect this to happen many, many times. Then maintain patience. Just continue to silence your mind and allow this awareness to develop. Then, not long, you should be able to develop this anapanasati. So when anapanasati develops, when your mind becomes aware of this in and out breath without thought, it will develop what they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, a spiritual, what they call rapture, or meditative peace, born of the mind that is in sati or mindfulness without thought. Then as you continue to relax into this mind state of piti, it will become more and more refined until later on it can transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very much more refined piti. From calmness and peace, you become blissful. Then as you continue to relax your mind and allow this piti and sukha to develop, it will develop into initially the long breathing, long breath. Like every breath you take, there is clarity and like it can go in for very long. Then the breathing out is also the same, very long. Then as you develop, your mind will become more and more peaceful, more and more calm, more and more aware. Then you experience all of the jhanic factors. Then you can calm your mind down. But remember, when this jhanic factor arises, vitaka, vichara, piti and sukha, you have to relax into every state of it. Relaxation is the first support key to meditation. If you don't relax into it, you can get trapped in this mind state of inner peace and inner calmness. Because later you will come to understand meditation is not only about developing the inner peace and inner calmness. They are the byproduct of meditation. But they are not the essence of meditation. The real essence of meditation is to train this mind so that you develop paucity or the silent mind, the meditative mind that is completely still, silent and quiet. So as you continue to relax into it, your mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more relaxed and more quiet. Then you will reach a point where the breathing all will slow down until very, very subtle, like no more breathing, no more movement. But the mind is fully aware, clear. Then you realize at certain stage, the mind does not need anything to become peaceful. This is a very good sign. It shows that you have trained your mind very well. You have reached the state of paucity, which is the tranquil state of mind. They call tranquility, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When you have this, technically you don't need the object of meditation anymore, because your mind no need to have any dwelling. Your mind can be aware anywhere you place it, within your own physical body. Wherever you place this mind, there is awareness, there is clarity, and you can become very sensitive. That's why you can detect your own heartbeat without the stethoscope. You can detect all of the vibration and movement within your own form and mind. Then when you're completely silent, there's a general spacious awareness that can be aware of all the sense experience that arise and pass away clearly. Then you can use that mind to develop wisdom, because this mind will experience all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, the five spiritual faculty, the four noble truths, the dependent origination and all those things. Then later on, as you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, you will also see the five hindrances, the three evil roots, the seven factors of enlightenment. They are all there. And meditation is just to silence the mind, to develop this understanding via the direct seeing or the silent mind. The form of meditation is just to train this mind so that it has this stability of mindfulness for you to live life. And you have to carry this state, the mind that is trained in sati or mindfulness. When you carry this into your daily life and use it to live life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the wisdom, the understanding and the awakening. And that is what the Buddha called heedfulness. When you are ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the wisdom and the understanding of his teaching, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, then you are heedful. Yeah. So heedfulness, according to the Buddha, is very important. Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't train your mind to be aware, stabilize it, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in daily life, to be heedful, to penetrate all Dhamma, then you are as if dead, the Buddha said. But if you train, develop this ability to be aware and use it to cultivate the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path in your daily life, and then you become heedful, ever mindful, and you will be destined for enlightenment, because the heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Deathless means no more rebirth, no more dying. Okay, now I will let you continue with your training and meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 10 minutes time. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfulness, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will start our official invocation to the devas. Then we will chant the, what they call salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. You turn to page 6 of the chanting book. It's Engbi. No. Never mind. So tonight I will chant the invocation. Then after that, together we chant the Vandana, then the Iti Peso, then the Dhamma Vandana and the Sangha Vandana. Invocations to the devas. So I'll read the English translation first, because some of you may be new. So in the universe, in this their entirety, let the deities or the devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching, the doctrine, or the protective chant. Samanta chakavalesu atrangachanta devata saddaman munin rajasa sunanto saka mongkadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa Ittipiso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta devam manusanam buddho bhagavate Svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko Opanayiko pachatang veditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari prisatsati Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaneyo, anuterang punya kita, lokasati, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We pay respect to Triple Jama. Budang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. can start the second session. Second session is meditation reporting, Q&A on whatever Dhamma that you want to understand, and also you can ask any question regarding the meditation. Then how you can make full use of all this teaching, and the understanding that you have developed to help you to resolve all of your life problem and situation. The understanding of the Dhamma is very useful, very important, because that will bring forth the wisdom that you need to live life. Otherwise, like the Buddha explained, without this understanding of life, especially the Four Noble Truths, which is the secret of life, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you can have a lot of problem. Then life can have a lot of suffering, misery. All of living beings suffering or misery, born of their fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and depression, they come from the lack of understanding of this teaching, the Buddha Dharma, especially the Four Noble Truths. When you don't understand what suffering is, the cause behind, and you don't understand that this suffering all need not be when you have the wisdom, and you don't know how to develop this wisdom through the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, you will have a lot of problem in life. Okay, now we open up for meditation reporting. Make full use of this opportunity. Can you raise the mic? can pass it over to our sister. Oh, your friend that came last week.
Yes. Feel and aware of what?
I know. That's why the question she asked shows that she does not really have a clear understanding of what sati or awareness is all about. That's why the question come about. He said, I said feel and just aware, and I said, don't think. But she cannot understand the word don't think. What is thinking? Now you come into the Dhamma through a more detailed understanding. What is thinking? When you think, what do you do? You start to create thought, isn't it? And what is thought? Thought is consciousness and its content, isn't it? Initially, before the thought arises, there is just this awareness, understand? Spacious awareness. I draw on the whiteboard. Then you understand. Initially, the mind, the original state, before the thinking, before the stirring, is just aware, understand? Aware without a center. Without a center. A center is a place where you actually hold on to. Like the egoic mind, the I and the me, a center. So when there is no center, means it's spacious. Spacious awareness. The mind is just aware, understand? There is no particular attention to anything, understand? It's okay, no one is there, it's okay. The mind is just aware, before the knowing, before the arising of thought. So the moment thought arises, what happens? What do you do? From this silent mind, silent mind, which is a spacious awareness, silent mind or original state of mind, before the stirring, before the thinking, before the movement, you introduce a thought, anasana, means you focus, anasana. The moment you focus, thought create a space and input it with content. So this content of consciousness, content of consciousness plus the space, these two form the thought, understand? It becomes the thought. So that space, because when you focus, means what? Let's say you try to perceive this flower, understand? From a general spacious awareness, suddenly your thought arises, understand? Maybe through your seeing consciousness, you zoom in, focus. Then you input the content. Oh, beautiful. What color and all those things. Yeah? Flower, all those things. Let's say in your meditation, suddenly a tactile consciousness, like pain or itchiness. Initially, it's just a feeling. But because you are so conditioned, you label it straight away through your conditioning. And so, well, you don't like that feeling. That's why you call it pain or itchiness or whatever. Then sometimes you hear something. Understand? So when you hear something, you focus on that vibration, that hearing consciousness. So the moment you focus through your thought process, you create a space with its content that form the thought. So the thought will be the content of what you try to perceive. Then you say ticking of the clock, or fan vibration, or aircon vibration, or the ringing of the bell, understand? Or nature's vibration, or the passing vehicle, or the car, and all those things. So this content, once you put it in, together with the space, it forms what they call the thought, understand? Whenever there is this thought, there is no awareness anymore. You know why? Because your mind is preoccupied with what you focus on, understand? Preoccupied with the sense experience, understand? They're preoccupied with your reaction and labeling and commenting or judgment of what that thing you try to perceive. So that mind that does this create mental hindrance, sensual desire or ill will. Sensual desire is the positive craving, the positive experiences or your pleasant good experiences. Ill will is your negative one, like your pain, your aversion, your dislike, your unpleasant sense experience. So these two hindrances of mind keep on arising, especially in your daily life, non-stop. So because of that, people who don't understand what awareness is, they will ask the question like, well, your friend asked, aware of what? To her, awareness is like, there is a person to be aware, and there is a person to be aware of something. That's why it itself is a wrong question. Because when you understand awareness, it's just awareness. You don't need anybody to be aware. And awareness is before the knowing. How can be aware of what? The moment you are aware of something, you are not aware. That's why I say you all do in your retreat, the so-called vipassana. What you do? You note. Note what? Rising, falling. Note sound, sound, sound. Hearing, hearing, hearing. Intending to what? What are you doing? What are you doing? This is mental noting. This is not sati at all. That's why you aware of what? You say you aware of sound. You aware of your whatever. Huh? Rising and falling. When there is awareness, there is no you inside that awareness. It's the mind and the phenomena move as one without words. Understand? That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the, what? Seeing consciousness, that consciousness arise. Understand not? You remember the physics experiment? Right? Those who study science, you know, maybe this is the, let's say the light bulb. Then there is this switch. So these are the positive and negative. This is the battery, the current. So what happens if there is contact? What happened? When there is contact, this battery will send the current through, isn't it? Then when it flow, what happened? This light bulb lights up, understand or not? Actually, your brain, together with the sense organ, operate the same way. This one is like your energy, understand or not? Which is your mind. Your mind has this thought energy, understand or not? It sends the energy through. And this is like your organ. This one is like your organ. Sorry. Organ. This is contact, understand or not? So what happened upon contact? Contact of mind and the sense organ. Of course, with the sense data coming in. What happened? This light bulb lights up, isn't it? Correct or not? The lighting up is what? Like the eye. Let's say this one, the organ is the eye, EYE. Like the eye become conscious, understand or not? So the eye become conscious means what? There is this seeing consciousness, understand or not? Seeing consciousness. Is there anybody to see? This one you know is naturally occurring there. Upon contact, it just light up. Understand? You don't need to have a person inside there to say, "Hey, light up." There is no person inside there say, "Hey, seeing consciousness arise." Like there is a soul that is responsible for seeing, hearing. No such thing, the Buddha said. These are all natural things happening. Upon contact, that consciousness come about. Light bulb lights up. So this one is the seeing consciousness. That's why the Buddha said, when you see, it's a delusion. There is no you to see. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, inverted comma, it is only the seeing consciousness. Can you understand or not? In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. It's in the sutta itself, on the sixth sendo. One of the monk, I think this one is from this, there is one sutta, I forgot what sutta already. I think if I'm not wrong, is this, what's the name? There's a Pali word for it, Anyway, this sutta is about there is this during the time of Kāsapa Buddha, if I'm not wrong. These 6 monks, they were actually very determined to cultivate. They went and actually commit themselves to a type of retreat like meditation. If they don't get enlightened, they will not come down, because there is no way for them to come down. They will die up there out of starvation. So they actually took a ladder, make a ladder or what. They climb onto a very high cliff, understand not? Then they push away all the ladder and all those things that supported their journey up. Then they determine to meditate with whatever food supply they have. And if they don't become enlightened by then, they will die. And because they are so sincere, they are so committed, actually, all the 5 died. Left with 1, if I'm not wrong. And this one make it, Anagami. So what happened, after his passing away, he was born in the pure abode, Anasana. You know, it's a pure abode, where the Anagami reside, the 3rd stage of sainthood. So this Brahma, because they have a commitment now among the 6 of them, whoever realize the truth and find a way, they will come back and look for the rest and take them across. And because in the pure abode, the Brahma Rai, he lived very long. So he saw all these friends of his, he must have developed this ability to follow them. He saw that they used to take birth in the Devarayana because of their virtue, their paramiya, all things. So he was full of joy, you know. Yeah. Then every time they take birth in the Devarayana, he doesn't disturb them on. Because he know they will have good life and happy life. Then later on, when I think Sakyamuni Buddha, when 2600 years ago about, when Sakyamuni Buddha arrived, he knew there is opportunity. That it so happened, all of five take birth as human beings now. Or then he go and look for them now, one by one. And he go and tell them to go and see the Buddha. That's how this sutta came about. And one of the friend, who actually you read the sutta, even that live, these people are not really that type of serious cultivator. No. One of them is a merchant, no. But because he used to like do business very good, then he also have that parami and that virtue. But I think in the past he also cheated people before. Then you know what happened? There was a don't know monsoon or don't know what. All his sheep, the whatever merchant, everything gone. No. And he also blown offshore. No. And he landed in a place he don't even know where he is. No. And because he was naked, nothing. So he didn't know. Then that place there also, because during that time a lot of people were cultivating. No. Then they saw this person like not wearing anything. So they thought he very good ascetic. No. Cultivate special type of skill. So one by one people start to like pay respect to him and all those things. Then finally that Brahma guy Neo, he came down and tell him, no, he said, foolish one, he said, you better wake up. He said, we have been going on together for this search for very long, and now the Sama Sambuddha is here, you still doing this thing, lying to people and all things, and think that you are Arahan. Then only he back out and he walk all the way to see the Buddha. No? If I'm not wrong, it's him. There are five of them, I forgot already. So, one of these, if I'm not wrong, is this merchant. He went and see the Buddha. No? The Buddha at that time was Pindapat. Yeah. Actually, all those people, the monks, the disciples, they know when the Buddha Pindapat, you don't go and disturb them. Like now, you go and try to meet this good monk. The what they call Kapya, or all those who like bodhicitta, like they will tell you not to come. So this one, he actually want to see the Buddha, no? Because they were conditioned. Then when they stop him, the Buddha kneel. No? The Buddha turn and tell them, it's okay, let him come. Then he spoke to the Buddha. No? He said, he has been searching, because the Brahma friend told him. So now is the time, he really wants to learn the Dhamma. Then the Buddha checked and knew he got such parami. The Buddha just teach him this sutta. Just six things, is it? In the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, is just the hearing consciousness. In the smell, is the smell consciousness. Taste consciousness. Tactile. In the thinking, is only the thought consciousness. The thought thing itself, is it? There is no thinker behind the thought. The moment he heard this, he awakened and he became Arahan. That's why this sutta is very powerful. In the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. There is no one to see. But because of his karma, he need to pay. Then immediately after he realized and he became an Arahan, you know what happened? He was full of joy. He want to go and maybe look for a rope. And he wants to take refuge and become the Buddha's disciple. But when he came out, he was galled to death by a very fierce, if I'm not wrong, it's a bull, I think. One of the animals, you know, coming. So during the Buddha's time, there is such a sutta. And this sutta talks about this. In the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. Then there is another one. Also one of the friends of this Brahma. He met the Buddha somewhere at a rest place, I think. Rest place. That time he didn't know it was the Buddha, no. They were sitting and talking because they passed the night there. Then the Buddha asked this ascetic, he said, where are you going? Actually, he was looking for the Buddha. And he didn't know that was the Buddha that he met. So anyway, the Buddha, out of compassion, talked to him and just explained to him some very simple Dhamma. And if I'm not wrong, it's again this Dhamma. No? In the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. No? About the sixth and dawn. Again, that one become Arahant too. All the five become Arahant. So not so difficult. So now I already share this. How many of you can really awaken? This one you have to reflect and contemplate. If you can understand, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, just like this light bulb lights up naturally, understand or not? There is no one inside there, understand or not? Your sense organ operate the same way, understand or not? The consciousness, when the seeing consciousness arrives, it's just the consciousness, understand? There is no one to see. But because of Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion, what happened? You associate with the seeing, understand or not? Understand or not? Then you, through your egoic mind, delusion, you go and react to what you see. I see, therefore I am. Understand or not? There is an I. Then, because of there is an I, there is a possessiveness. Understand or not? There is a like and dislike. Understand or not? There is craving. There is aversion. There is fear. There is worry. There is anxiety. All arise because of that atta. The self-delusion, thinking that you are real, that there is a person within to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to tactile feel and think. Like there is a thinker behind the thought. And all these are delusion because you don't meditate to see clearly that is only dependent originating. Everything is dependent originating. That's why the dependent origination, 12-ing, paticca samuppada. Dependent on this, that arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Dependent on ignorance, mental activity or sankhara come to be. Then when that mental activity or sankhara come to be, you create thought because the thinking process create contact in the mind. So upon contact again, the consciousness arise, the thought consciousness arise. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, then sankhara paccaya vijnanam, that consciousness, the mental consciousness, before you input the content. The moment you input the content, this consciousness, which is pure consciousness, become a thought. Then it create form and mind, namarupa, five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the, what they call mental five aggregate, the second aspect of the living being. Second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind that the Buddha talked about. If you grasp and cling, upadana kanda, suffering will be the result. Yeah. So coming back to your question, is due to her lack of understanding of what sati is. Asana, you tell her to listen to the recording. Well, tonight, sure, recorder. I think, see, I better check. The battery, I think, changed already. Last week, we were very lucky. But in a way, it's meant to be. The first 1.5 hours, the battery was an old battery. I think, so I must have put in a already worn-out battery. But didn't check. So luckily, halfway through, I think, towards the end, I kicked the wire. That's what I meant to be. Then Sui An come and check. Not recording. Then he come and change the battery. So because of that, the last half an hour was very good. That one, you go and listen. That one, I explain about this too. Even though half an hour only. But it's very good. So tonight I will compliment what we missed out last week in a clearer way because she asked about this. But the five mental hindrance, all those things, we all already heard before. It's in the transcript, 12 September, 2013. So you go back and read. That one, I think last week we also went into it quite detail in a very unique way. But because condition is such meant to be, cannot be recorded, as cannot be recorded. So because of that, we only managed to get the last half an hour recording. So whatever that comes with condition, we need to accept and move on. If you try to like create your thought, why we missed that one? How come we are not so careful or thankful? All this is not the reality anymore. It's only your thought projection. Yeah, there is craving, you want it to be recorded, then your thought will start to create thought projection and thinking. And these are not fit for attention. It doesn't bring about any benefit because it only brings about more and more of the thought process, that craving to have it recorded. But the reality is, happened already, not recorded. There's no amount of complaint or reaction or craving can bring forth the condition for it to happen. So when we accord and flow, there is no more unhappiness, no more suffering, and no more all this habitual tendency of thought projection. You realize in life, for the heedless one, before you have the understanding, you tend to use your thought to project. If I have not done that, if I have not gone there, if this guy had not come and tell me all this would not have happened. All the if, and never the reality. Then you like to project your thought. That's why you have a lot of heedless thinking, unnecessary thought process. Yeah. That's why Sankara is reactive, and Sankara, the reason for its arising is avijja, ignorant, nothing else. When you are ignorant of the reality and the truth, you will go and project your thought, you will justify, you will think, you will say a lot of things born of your views, opinion and conditioning, especially your habitual tendencies. So clear. So there is no such thing as aware of what? Aware means aware. You must understand the moment you are silent without thought, without any mental verbalization, chattering, before the arising of even the aggregate of mind, to perceive, to feel, to become conscious, to react. That is awareness. But the moment you start to do all this, when the aggregate come to be, when you start to perceive, you start to feel, and you start to become conscious, you are no longer aware. The awareness is before the knowing. You're just aware. The mind and the consciousness is one. That's why in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. It's the awareness and the seeing consciousness as one. Then that form of mind is not deluded one. It knows that it's just condition arising. It's just a consciousness, no one to see. That's why they will not react on us. There is no more fear. And their characteristic, all they understand. They are conditioned arising, causal phenomenon, no reality at all. But the moment you give meaning, you attach, you cling, and you hold, and react, suffering will follow you. Then through your delusion, you create a lot of what they call habitual tendency. You arise a lot of evil roots, then mental hindrance will follow, because you become heedless. The moment you reverse all this through your cultivation of the spiritual faculty, you become heedful. That's why the Buddha says heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, the heedless are as if dead. So you remember, I used to advise you to have a good religious routine, remember? Don't take it literally, you know. Don't go and quote me and say, Brother Theo say one, no. Yes, no. We must do this. Then you are no different from all the other people who are gullible. You just quote me without understanding. You don't be rigid about all these things. When I say you must have a good religious routine, means what? Just like our puja here, pre-puja, post-puja, I explained to you, is to cultivate one. Cultivate faith, sada, virya, sati, the spiritual faculties. Once the spiritual faculties are there, the five mental hindrances cease to be as well. Then you can receive spiritual teachings because these are spiritual faculties that will make your mind very different. So when you have the spiritual faculty, it means what happened? Like when you have sada, you have faith and full confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, means what? Your mind is very calm, very composed. There is no more doubt, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety as well. And that mind that has a lot of sada, born of understanding clearly who the Buddha is, how wonderful he is, how special he is. He is the wisest and the most virtuous, fully enlightened being. And his teaching is so beautiful, so wonderful. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and now. It can transform a person completely, character-wise, personality-wise, into a noble one or enlightened one that allow you to live the spiritual life or the noble life of enlightened one. So such a teacher is very hard to come by. And you will have a lot of gratitude and respect towards such great being and teacher. So that's why you will bring forth the second spiritual faculty, virya. Then you will diligently cultivate mindfulness, sati, asana. So when you develop sati, your mind becomes very different. You become more and more aware, more and more mindful, less and less thinking, asana. Less and less thinking means what? You become more and more heedful, asana. Then as you stabilize this mindfulness through your bowing, through your puja, through your daily mindfulness, through your meditation, what happens? You become more and more heedful throughout the day, understand? So that religious routine and puja is to help you to develop the spiritual faculty so that you transform from a heedless way of living with all the hindrance, into a heedful way of living with all the spiritual faculty, understand? And that is the purpose of that religious routine, understand? It is to help you to cultivate and to progress along the path of Dhamma. So you don't go and say, "Eh, brother Teo say one." No. Or then you force yourself to go and do it without understanding. You do because brother Teo advise you to do because it will bring forth so much benefit. Asana. Not only it develops the spiritual faculty, you also cultivate 10 meritorious actions, then you can invoke the power of merit. All these are taught by the Buddha, not me. I just explained to you. Then after this develop, you transform from a heedless person with all the mental hindrance into a heedful person with all the spiritual faculty. And this one, the Buddha said, the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So this is what you have to do, understand? Not all the funny meditation, not all the insight and all those things. You go for the big name, vipassana, retreat, all those things. But you don't want to develop the basic understanding of his teaching. That's why you go into retreat, you waste your time because you don't know what you are doing down there. What is your focus? You're not clear. You don't understand the cultivation. You don't know how to go about doing it. There are some of you who already developed this understanding, they have so much joy and gratitude. They were so full of joy. Because living being, even cultivator and meditator, because of their lack of this understanding of the real Buddha's teaching, they actually lost a lot of their time. Yeah? Searching around for teachers, for method, for technique. Go retreat, meditate, and do all those funny things without understanding. That's why, end of the day, they find that they still haven't really progressed. Yeah. Most of you have been to retreat before, you no need to maybe ask me. You can find out for yourself. When you are there, maybe you are more calm, more peaceful than sometimes, very happy, a lot of joy, good meditation. Yeah. Then sometimes not good. Sometimes you got, but you always look for good meditation, thinking that there is progress. But no matter whether you have fantastic or good meditation, even after you all the so-called jhana and the insight, you come out, you go back to life. you realize you have not changed. After 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maximum 5 weeks, square one. Your old habitual tendency come back. You still have fear, you realize. You still got greed. You still got unhappiness. You still got insecurity. All those life-related situation and problem and emotion, everything still like affect you. You only have some Dhamma knowledge. Try to figure around. But every time when you are afflicted, you confronted with the First Noble Truth, you don't know how to handle. You are seldom at peace. Because the hindrance, especially the first two sentient desires, you will keep on arising throughout the day. And you don't have even daily mindfulness. You are hardly heedful throughout the day. You only think by going to retreat you can become different. But life is not 24-hour retreat. You must develop daily mindfulness until throughout the day you are aware, mindful, heedful. Whatever you train and experience in the retreat, you must be able to use it to live your daily life. And then that is the real meditation. That's why daily mindfulness under the four foundation of mindfulness, sati sampajana. If you cannot do that, you cannot awaken. That is the gist of the Buddha's teaching. Because that is the beginning, no, under kaya nupasana. No. Immediately after you train the mind, the Buddha say anapanasati, then you go into mindfulness of the four posture, then you do your daily mindfulness. But only after this can you contemplate and reflect the real Dhamma. Then only you can go into the other cultivation. Because without this daily mindfulness, you cannot go into all the other cultivation. We are Vedana Nupasana, Chitta Nupasana, Dhamma Nupasana. We are talking about life itself, no? Not in a retreat condition, no? Not a condition state, no? Understand? No? That's why the whole cultivation is very different. You cannot cope with real life situation. You're still far away from the truth, from the Dhamma that the Buddha teach. So that's why this teaching is, in a way, very unique and very beautiful. You can understand, it can bring forth a lot of benefits. Then it can really, really awaken living beings. So the focus is just spiritual faculties. From the spiritual faculty, all your spiritual understanding will come. Because you look at the spiritual faculties, this actually can bring forth the seven factors of enlightenment. They are all there. Without sadha, there is no virya. So virya is an enlightenment factor. Then without virya, there is no sati. That's why with the faith, you develop the virya, the spiritual zeal. Because after knowing who the Buddha is and how special the teaching is, you diligently want to cultivate. Then when you diligently cultivate, mindfulness comes. When you stabilize, it becomes samadhi. Then once you have sati and samadhi, you can use it to investigate Dhamma, to do the three turning, to investigate into all truth. Then cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, especially Noble Eightfold Path, samasati. Then it will keep on arising the wisdom, which is panya. Then when wisdom arises, panya arises, you will have the last enlightenment factor, equanimity, born of wisdom. The mind that is in the state of equanimity, unstirred, collected, unwavering, but born of wisdom, not a conditioned state, not in concentration or jhana or absorption. So that is the true enlightenment factor. So what happens is, once you have the spiritual faculty, sati is the first enlightenment factor. Klena. Yeah? After that, which is the second enlightenment factor? Dhamma vichaya is what? Dhamma investigation. You cannot investigate Dhamma if you don't have sati. That's why sati must develop through the spiritual faculty. Then use it to investigate Dhamma. Then when you investigate Dhamma, Dhamma stand up to investigation. What happened? You realize the Buddha is so wise. All his teaching is so beautiful, so true, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Then verse 183, his advice come from the right view, everything. Then you realize His teaching is so wonderful, you know, so beautiful, so meaningful. Then you have virya. So virya is the third enlightenment factor. So the enlightenment factor is sati, virya, adhamma vichaya, then virya. Then after that, the mind state will transform. Piti will arise. Piti is an enlightenment factor. Then after that, you enter the silent mind. You develop samadhi. Paucity leading to samadhi, then equanimity. That's why the seven factor of enlightenment are all actually inside the five spiritual faculty. They are not apart from it. And the whole cultivation is actually one. But experience in a different way. Because this is the beginning. Before the enlightenment factor come on, you must cultivate like that. Without sadhana, there is no virya. Without virya, you will not have the spiritual zeal or tenacity to constantly cultivate your mindfulness. When your mindfulness is not stable, you cannot investigate Dhamma. That's why the second enlightenment factor of Dhamma Vichaya cannot arise. When sati stabilizes, samadhi will come about. But this samadhi initially is just the collected mind, unwavering mind, not born of equanimity or wisdom yet. So this one is like intermediate stage for you to see things clearly. When you have this seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought consciousness, because there is samadhi, the mind does not waver and stir. That's why it can allow you to see things as they are. Your mind cannot interfere. It does not bring about the all the other what they call habitual tendency related to it. So when you see with clarity, then you will come to know how that condition behind their arising. That's how you start to see everything is dependent originating, dependent origin. Without this, that doesn't arise. Then without that, this doesn't arise. That's how the Buddha explained to the monk, it must mean sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. That imas means asati idang arhuti. Means when this ceases, that ceases. Because they are all dependent originating. So duality is the same. Yin and yang is the same. When you create one aspect of duality, means like you say good. Good means what? Good according to your views and opinion, isn't it? When you say I have a good meditation, means your meditation is very peaceful, very calm, and you are very happy inside there. So that is good. But the moment you create good, what happens? The other opposite manifests, anasana. When you meditate and you don't have this experience, the other opposite duality is what? Bad meditation, anasana. Today my meditation lousy. I cannot get the peace, the calm, or the nimitta, the concentration. I cannot go into this, I cannot go into that. So to you, meditation is about getting peace, getting calm, having a good mind. The purpose of meditation is not that. The essence of meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be aware, so that you use this to cultivate the wisdom, to awaken, to realize. Because only wisdom free, nothing else. Not all the fantastic meditative state, you use it to develop all the concentration, the absorption, the fantastic jnana, jhana, and all the like you see in the metta. So what? Very beautiful. But after you come out of meditation, you are still the same old guy, square one, not much change. Maybe for that moment, those condition behind, your mind is very calm, very peaceful. Then when you have that jhana, that concentration, like you enlighten. But as you grow old, as condition cease to be so favorable, then without wisdom you realize, when you confront the first noble truth reality of old age, sickness and death, separation and all those things, you still have suffering. You still have emotion, you still react, you still unhappy, you still got fear, and you still worry about this, and you still deludedly cling on to this so-called human form and mind, thinking that you are real. So this is the aspect of the teaching that I hope you all can develop clear understanding, so that you know what you are doing, so that you really strive on with heedfulness to cultivate this spiritual faculty, leading to all the benefits that it can bring about, so that your life takes a turn. I used to tell you in the retreat in Cameron Island, you transform from a heedless living being into a heedful way of living, where your mind is so different, so beautiful with all the spiritual faculty, no more the heedless mental hindrance, no more all those heedless thinking, thought projection, fear, worry, anxiety, all this like disappear suddenly, like the cloud disperse. There is clarity, clear sky. When your mind is without this thought, born of heedless thinking and delusion, it's like the clear sky. You can see everything that move and arise and pass away within that reality with a lot of clarity. You can see very clearly. Then you see things as they are, no more like a clouded type of what they call delusion. No more. Okay? Okay, sadhu, we should rejoice. We still got half an hour. Anybody else got any question or want to report your meditation? You must make full use of this time and condition. Because last week, Thursday, luckily, her friend, she was new. She came here first time, but she has been cultivating quite long, I think. She knows quite a bit of the Dhamma, but she never heard of the thing that I share. That's why she was so happy that night. And she asked some very good question. So that was the condition. Yes. Pass the mic. You don't mind. For the recording. Otherwise, without the mic, we can hear you, but it's not recorded.
Okay. Yeah. Prabhupada also, regarding the awareness, in other words, we say silent the mind, if there is a pain coming in, so when the mind silent, that means the pain will, because of the silent mind, that's that counter that?
I think I know what you want to ask. I think I know what you want to ask, but you don't know how to ask because you are not clear of what this thing is. I will explain it. You off the thing, off the mic. You see, this silent mind, I don't know why it's so difficult for you to understand. Off the thing, you haven't off. See this, now it's off. This silent mind, I don't know why it's so difficult for you to understand. Listen again, The moment you are without thought, you are already silent. Understand that? You are without thought. Means no verbalization, no thinking. Understand that? Or perceiving. When you understand that the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So what must you do? The connection sometimes. You see. It's okay. I think because certain anger. You see, the moment you understand that you are silent, you already aware, understand? So don't try to do anything, understand? You know what is happening or not? The moment you try to do something, you are active again, understand? Thought is active again, understand? Who is doing? The thought is doing. The thought wants to do something. So meditate, like he said. If the pain arises, I silence the mind. You mean it will go away? If you know how to silence and relax into it, it will go away. But silent doesn't mean don't do anything. Silent is to use that silent mind that is aware without thought. When you are without thought, what happened? Yeah? Last time I shared with you all space between thought, you remember? Space between thought. Let's say this is the first thought. Then this is the second thought. Huh? This is a space. When there is no thought, when there is this clear space, what happened? Your mind is what? Huh? Ah, mind is? The silent mind is what? Peaceful, isn't it? Without thought, isn't it? Huh? Correct or not? When it's without thought, it's peaceful, isn't it? It's quiet, isn't it? Quiet. Then it has stillness, isn't it? Then it has tranquility. Tranquility. And such a mind is so wonderful, isn't it? So beautiful, isn't it? Because when you are peaceful, quiet, still, and tranquil, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no thinking. The mind does not project. Then what does it do? It's just aware before the knowing. Understand? Understand? You know what is the awareness or not? Like a baby. They got no memory, no word, no concept, no conditioning. When they see something or hear something, their senses are pure. Understand? Pure awareness of what that thing is. Understand? Because the baby don't know that it is a flower or what. Understand? It become like very curious. That's why they are very sincere or very naive. One. Then you see them like very cute. Understand? Yeah, they are very sincere. But they really hear. Without word, without concept. One. But the moment you teach them papa, mama, they become naughty already. Understand? Because they develop this conditioning. All this become conditioning. Then they attach, they cling. Then they create words. Understand? Then they start to be conditioned by what you teach them. Or what you feed into them. Understand? So your environment, the teacher or the nanny or the parent. Then later as they grow up, they go to school, the kindergarten teacher. Understand? Then now with your maid, Indonesian maid also teach them until they speak only Bahasa Indonesia, nothing else. Like my sister got one, youngest one. Until the age of 12, she only speak Bahasa Indonesia. She doesn't know even any Chinese dialect now. Because looked after by the Indonesian maid for so many years. Until she herself also felt funny. Then later on, as you go to school, the education system, the internet, your friend, your colleague, the newspaper, the radio, or whatever, multimedia thing, they start to condition you and influence you. Yeah. That's why your mind become like very conditioned. But meditation is about understanding conditioned mind. If you like a baby, no use. Yeah, you got pure awareness, but you got nothing. You don't even know anything. So you have to be with the conditioned mind, yet with the wisdom and the understanding born of this Dhamma investigation or silent mind meditation, then you come to understand clearly that the form of mind is just the form of mind. Understand? The brain is just a bundle of memory with its conditioning. Understand? Then the sense or consciousness arises because upon contact of mind, the consciousness come to be. Understand? But when the consciousness that arises, which is a natural thing, you deludedly go and associate and cling and react and stir your mind and develop all the fear, worry and emotion. That's why within these two thoughts, there is no space. You continue to think, project your thought, worry, react and inside there. Do a lot of those funny habitual thinking. reacting, complaining. Sometimes like inside they're chattering. How can this guy do that? Huh? Who the thing he is? Sometimes you already the incident over, you as you walk home, you still thinking. Then you reach home, you still complain to your wife. Then at night sleep also go and think, that guy, how can he do that to me? You carry this into your sleep. It's like halfway through you got dreams, you got nightmare, and I'll say, you're so angry and unhappy what he do to you. This is how you accumulate all this fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity and unhappiness. This is how the defilement went in. Asana, to your delusion. Your sakaya ditti, your ignorance. And because of that, now we are training our mind to reverse all this. So if you want to understand the silent mind, means you're really silent. Don't try to know anything. That's why I say when you meditate, you don't try to know anything. You don't even try to be aware, anasana. You don't even inside that, am I doing vipassana? Am I doing this correctly? So what is all this going on? Verbalization, anasana. The moment you verbalize, there is no silent mind, anasana. Silent mind is without verbalization, anasana. How to spell? Verbal? V-E-R-B-E? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Verbalization. Without any verbalization. So when you don't verbalize, when your mind doesn't chatter, no chattering, then you are silent and peaceful. So the moment you are silent, you are already aware. Don't try to be aware. Don't go and check whether you are aware. Aware of what? Who is aware? All these are delusion. You just have to understand that the moment you are silent, you already aware. You already peaceful inside there. That's why meditation is very simple. Straight away you're silent. Relax, aware. And you go into stillness, peace. All this piti, sukha all will arise, but they are conditioned arising state within this stillness, this peace, this tranquility. So whatever that arise within that silent mind, you will come to know. So when I say silent means you just relax and just maintain that awareness. It will stir your mind, like that tactile consciousness come, like he said, when the pain come, what must you do? Because your mind is silent, pain before you label it is just a sensation, anasana. Because you never investigate, you never find out, you never allow your silent mind to go into it and see clearly what is happening inside there and how the thought perceive it as pain. The thought perceive through what? Content of consciousness which you introduce into it, anasana. Through what? Through your conditioning. Where you don't like that sensation. That's why initially, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only seeing consciousness. So in the tactile consciousness is just that contact, the tactile, understand? That sensation within that consciousness, understand? There is no labeling yet. No pleasant and unpleasant labeling or identification. Understand? No concept of all this yet. But because you are so conditioned through your delusion. That's why you react to sense experience so fast, you input the content straight away, pop. Then there is no space. Where you keep going? Your mind cannot be silent. It straight away want to labor. Your pain come already, die already. What must I do? How can I suppress it, control it, push it away? Then you go and think. Then, what did you recall? The teacher say, note, pain, 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 hoping it will go. And then you go and do that funny thing. Pain, pain, you go and labor. Of course, sometimes if you do it long enough, anything also go away. Anasana. But it will come back and haunt you. Anasana. As long as you don't develop the wisdom and the understanding, it will come back and haunt you. Because this pain can be truly very severe, especially you go into the retreat. Because day in, day out, they ask you to do what? sitting, walking. I tell you, you don't go crazy also. You ask any creature to do also, that creature also go crazy. Living being cannot do that thing like that one. Then you become like a robot. You have to relax, echo and flow, move into life itself. That's why when you are in a retreat, you have problem. Go for a walk, understand? Relax, silent, inner awareness, just walk. And you feel so peaceful, understand? So relaxed and so silent, and you can perceive all of nature's vibration, everything, as long as you don't think. But you tend to have some form of thinking. But it's not like sitting there tormenting yourself, understand? That's why I say you go to retreat, you don't understand what you are doing. Please, don't torture yourself inside there, understand? You know what is torturing yourself, no? Got pain also, dare not move, understand? Got fat also, dare not release. All these things you do inside there, because you paise, you shy, all cannot do one. Then you become what? Discipline. That's why discipline, attention is not awareness. You got fear. You dare not do so many things. You are not natural. You are not at ease. The real meditation is the relaxed inner silence that has this natural state of awareness that is very natural. You are always at ease. At ease means what? No more problem. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. No more scared of this, scared of that. So, when you are silent, you can be aware of whatever that arises. Whether tactile consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, or whatever. Then, very fast, through your awareness, you detect. Understand? Then you realize it's not a person inside there. It's just that thing, aware. Before the mind still react and labor through the conditioning, then you realize this thought, because of the conditioned mind, the delusion, has been creating all this habitual tendency and causing you to be like that, and that's a heedless. The hindrance is the one that causes you to have this heedlessness, the lack of peace, and you cannot see, and you somehow allow it, because it has become so habitual. You have done it for so long. You say, how can I not do it? Since young, I have been doing this. That's why meditation is to reverse this heedless thinking, this habitual tendency. Through what? Through cultivating the spiritual faculty, anasana. But for those who are new, because they don't have the spiritual faculty, that's why I teach you to use the mind sweeping method to feel, relax, don't think, anasana. Then when you do this long enough, feel, relax, and don't think, then this heedless thinking will like slowly slow down and become like less and less. Then what happened? The new habitual way of living life by feeling and aware without thinking will start to develop. But if you only come here and train for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, then the whole of the week you are heedless again. Then you tell me, how are you going to train? That's why it has to be carried into your daily life. That's why the religious routine has to come in and complement until you are more and more mindful, more and more human. Until you do this, like the reverse of what you do last time. Instead of being heedless most of the time throughout the day, you now heedful most of the time throughout the day. And this is what meditation is all about. That's why daily mindfulness, to develop the spiritual faculty, especially the daily mindfulness, sati, is very important. Without that, you cannot be heedful. So coming back to the silent mind, his question is, how can I be aware of all those things and develop the understanding, the wisdom? So the Buddha said, when you experience something, let's say, last time, before you have this silent mind, awareness, meditation, understanding, what you do is you react to that pain, correct or not? You label it. So what is pain? Pain is a mental hindrance, asana, ill will. So the moment you label, what happened? It becomes a mental hindrance. it will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you straight away lost your meditation. Understand? Let's say with this understanding now, the moment you experience that sensation, you tell yourself, I'm not going to label it. Of course, you initially still verbalize inside. Understand? But now, you want to straighten your view. You want to investigate into this Dhamma that the Buddha teach. Understand? If I don't react and don't create a terminology for it, if I don't label it as pain, what happened? Then it's just a sensation, isn't it? Sensation means what? The Buddha asks you to contemplate every day, yeah? The five daily contemplation. The first three is what? This body of mind is of the nature to decay, grow old, be diseased, yeah? And die. So the body has this natural tendency, understand not? It goes the way of nature. So if I sit in such a way that there is this blockage of chi flow, then what happens? That blockage will create a sensation in my tactile consciousness, understand not? Then this tactile consciousness will develop, understand not? Because this body, which is not relaxed, create constriction of energy flow, understand? The chi cannot flow, understand? That's why sometimes it become numb. Then it become pain and all those things. So if you know how to relax and allow it to be without labeling it, the moment you don't label, it's not a hindrance. Not a hindrance means what? You can be at peace with it, understand not? Well, you don't say pain means you don't have aversion towards it, understand? So your mind can accept it. Well, every living being that doesn't know how to relax has this problem, understand not? Then just like the thought, the random thought, the heedless thinking. When you meditate, you realize a lot of thought, understand not? So you have to tell yourself, the untrained mind is restless, think a lot. That's why, because you don't have spiritual faculty. So what happens when you accept this reality? Just like the Buddha said, if you silence your mind, the first category of Dhamma that you're supposed to cultivate under Dhamma Nupassana is what? Mindfulness of what? Huh? Dhamma Nupassana. Mindfulness of what? The five mental hindrances. This is the first category of Dhamma, no? And yet you don't want to study, no? You don't want to understand it, no? Then the Buddha said, if you silence your mind, just aware, then you will come to know what? How does the unarisen hindrance come to be? And how does pain come to be, that hindrance? But you label it through your wrong view, understand? So when you come to know how it come about, then when you can accept the reality and you straighten your view not to label, means you at peace with that sensation. Then you just silence your mind and relax into it. Then what happened? Then you realize the moment you don't react, there is no hindrance, the mind can be at peace, understand? Then when it's at peace without thought, sati develop, understand? The spiritual faculty take over. When sati develop, there is no more restlessness. Then if you know how to relax into it, you become peaceful, understand? Then there is a lot of joy when the pain is gone, understand? The so-called sensation is gone. Then you realize, meditation is so simple. That's why for the last 25 years, I got no problem with pain or numbness or itchiness or whatever. I can sit. I can just sit. Where you understand them for what they are. They are just nature's condition. So when you have the understanding already, this hindrance will not manifest because you don't hold on to it, you don't grasp onto it, you don't label it anymore. Understand? You accept them as sensation. So sensation remains neutral. No good, no bad. Understand? That's why even very good meditative state, like piti, sukha, blissful state, all those things, or concentration, calmness, whatever that arises, pleasant and unpleasant, you just have to accept them for what they are, because they are just condition arising state. It will arise when the condition is like that. So when it arises, what must you do? The four support. Remember that. That's why I say relax into every mind state. that arise. The moment you relax, the so-called sensation that normally develop into pain will also be gone. Understand not? Then it become no more. Because the moment you relax into it, the mind does not resist it, then the qi flow. Then there is sati, mindfulness. Then mindfulness will become more and more peaceful. Then piti, sukha, pasati will arise. Then the silent mind will arise. Then when this arises, you can feel within. Initially, the pulling sensation, everything, these are words still on the sound. But when you feel with the silent mind, there is no word. You know what the thing is. But because you have to describe it, anasana. That's why you will realize inside there, when the tactile consciousness has this problem, when there is constriction, you can see all the various reactions within your bodily cells and nervous system, how they actually has this pulling sensation, or a lot of things moving inside there. And your mind can be fully aware of them. Then the moment you relax and silent, you can see it clearing. Then all the various mind state, you will experience it. You only have to maintain this silent to observe. Not as an observer, understand? As a mind that is with it. Awareness is just aware. Don't even try to know. Anasana. Then as you aware, you know what happened. Anasana. But there is no word inside there. But after you come out, you can use word to explain what you experienced. Anasana. What the awareness has experienced or gone through. That is the real meditation. So silent mind is very useful when you have the understanding. Without the understanding, your mind cannot be silent. It's actively trying to do things. And that doing is by the thought. The moment the thought is active, there is no awareness. There is no silent mind. So always remember, meditation is not about doing. That's why the real meditation is effortless. That's why Krishnamurti says, wherever there is effort, there is no meditation. Thought based, you use effort. That's why initially right thought, there is right effort. Right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought. Because thought based, you use effort. But when it comes to mindfulness, there is no more thought. There is no effort involved. You just silent. You just maintain awareness. Silent. Sati. So thought based meditation and awareness based meditation, they are totally different. So do not be trapped by thought, because thought is very powerful. Then later on, when you have this silent mind develop more and more, awareness develop more and more, then where you can understand clearly the way things are, just like Krishnamurti's definition. What is mindfulness or awareness? He used the word awareness. Awareness is the silent, choiceless. When you are silent, choiceless observation of the truth or of what is the reality, you have awareness. This definition again. Awareness is equal to what? Equal to what? Silent? Choiceless? Observation of? Observation of what is. What is the reality, huh? What is, huh? All the reality. Means thing as it is, anasana. When you are silent without choice, means you don't command, you don't react, you don't judge, you don't go and make a choice, good or bad, anasana. Pleasant or unpleasant, anasana. You just silent your mind. Then you just observe without the observer, anasana, of the reality of what is. Means that so-called sensation is still a word. But what actually happened inside there, that pulling, feeling inside there, that sensation, anasana, that is pure awareness. Anasana. pure perception without the word before the labeling, then you just relax and silent and just be with it, with the mind and the phenomena as one. And then without thought you are very peaceful, you are very quiet, very still, there is tranquility. That's why you enter what they call paucity. Paucity is the silent mind. Paucity. This is the silent mind, meditative mind. Silent mind. Or meditative mind. Understand? Can follow, huh? I think this one got double S, is it? I'm not really sure, you check the spelling yourself, huh? Paucity. This is the enlightenment factor. Yeah? After piti, then paucity. You got sati, dhamma vichaya, virya, piti, then paucity. After paucity, then is samadhi. Then after samadhi, the last one is upeka. Upeka or equanimity. This one is the last enlightenment factor. Upeka. Upeka. Okay? Clear not? So hopefully now you can get a better understanding of what this silent mind is all about. So that's why you must ask. Don't worry about your question. Sometimes you may not know how to phrase it, but from the way you ask, I will know what is it that you want to know. So this one, I think, helps to clear up a lot of the what so-called meditative question. Or those things that has been actually preventing cultivator from developing the understanding of how to do it. But the funny thing is, I don't know, for me, when I develop my own cultivation, I don't have such problem. Nobody tell me all these things, but I just know how to do it. Since when I started meditation. That's why I can never follow those instructions that people give me. But when they give me all those instructions, I just check. I feel funny, I cannot do one. Then I just do the way that I'm familiar with. That's why I told Jin Hao, where Jin Hao? I say, do whatever that comes by naturally. When he asked me, bow, must bow like that. Stand up and bow, or 5-point position, or when he bow, you want to put the hand like that. I say, it's up to you, whatever that comes to you naturally, understand? You do it in whatever manner that suits you, that is conducive for you, understand? But everyone is different. Different people have their own different way of cultivation and habits. Even during the Buddha's time, there's one arahan, he liked to jump on. Yeah, that is his habitual tendency. And he's very happy and his mind is very free when he do that. So you cannot say, hey, cannot be arahan, where got like that behavior? You think arahan don't behave like that. Means the unenlightened one try to tell the enlightened one how they should live their life or behave, you see. Because there are different tendency that different living being they develop through their own what they call preference when they cultivate. That's why everyone is different. That's why your parami, or as you develop, you have your own way of arriving at them. But ultimately, it's the same teaching. It's only how you do it, because everyone is different. So your understanding can come about in different way and different manner and different form. Some left-hander, some right-hander. Some use the right brain more, some use the left brain more. It's up to you. There's no hard and fast rule. The more important thing is you develop the understanding, then you know how to cultivate. That is most important. If you do meditation or whatever without understanding, you cannot progress. I tell you. Okay, we better end. 10:30 something already. 34 already. So you got any question, you write it down, like the sister through the friend, so that next Thursday when we come, we can still, we still got one more session. So, after that we break for two sessions. We got Christmas fall on Thursday, so we are off. Then 1st of January again fall on Thursday, so we let you have two good holidays, year end holiday, so you can celebrate your Christmas and New Year. Then for those who really want to make New Year resolution, you can. This year you should make a good one, determined to do something for your own cultivation. That you really have the faith sincere, it can actually bring forth the causes and conditions for it to ripen. Because with your wholesomeness, actually anything also possible. Because when you start to cultivate with understanding, with your faith, sadha, virya, sati, developing into samadhi and straightening your view into wisdom, you have great parami, and when you invoke the power of this parami, it will help you a lot. It will actually bring forth the causes and conditions where you make aspiration, invoking nature's law for it to arise. Then there are some Dhamma book here from WAVE. We contributed through our Karamita funds. You can collect them, whatever that suits you later on. So now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. You can rejoice us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we will do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang animoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to the other relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. We invoke the blessing for the nation. Deo vasadu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.